Hello and welcome to the Talking Food with Bidfood podcast. I'm Heather, Nutrition Manager at Bidfood and your host for today. In this episode, we'll be talking about the British Dietetic Association's, or the BDA's, Care Home Digest. Now, this is a long-awaited resource which supports care homes in providing high-quality food and drink services for residents that are in their care. And I'm excited to announce that I'm joined today by two guests, both of which sat on the working group for the Care Home Digest and therefore helped develop these guidelines. First up, we have Vittoria Romano, a specialist community and prescribing support dietitian at Central London Community Healthcare NHS Trust. We will also be joined by Sophie Murray, a registered nurse with a degree in nutritional medicine. Sophie is the governance and regulation manager at Harbour Healthcare. Both of our guests have incredible experience and are perfectly positioned to help us dig into these guidelines. So let's get started. I'll start things off with Vittoria. Please, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your background?
Of course. Hi, I'm Vittoria Romano. I, as you said very nicely, I am a community dietitian and also a prescribing support dietitian working for Central London Community Healthcare. So I specifically work within the inner boroughs of London, so a very, very compact and very diverse population. I'm a dietitian, and so what that means is that we're a qualified and regulated professional that are able to assess, diagnose, and treat dietary and nutritional problems in individuals or at population level. So we generally work with a lot of care homes, either at an individual level or working with care homes more broadly to support them with their residents' care.
Brilliant. And Vittoria, for any of our listeners who might not be aware, who are the British Dietetic Association or the BDA?
Yes, so the British Dietetic Association are the professional body and the trade union for dietitians. So really, they're there to represent us as a profession and be the voice of us as a profession. And I actually sit on one of their committees, one of their specialist groups, the Older People Specialist Group, which is the reason why I was brought on to support with the writing of the Care Home Digest. I was the chair of the Older People Specialist Group at the time of writing the digest, but now I've stepped down from that role because I completed my 4 years and I am now their professional / policy officer. So I'm continuing to help them in terms of supporting older adults and what we do with them.
Brilliant. Thank you for explaining that. Okay, and now Sophie, please could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your background?
Yeah, of course. So my day job, my employed role is with Harbour Healthcare as Governance and Regulation Manager, and I'm also the catering lead for them. So I have a second role, a voluntary role, as Southeast Deputy Chair for the NACC, the National Association for Care Catering. But really, in terms of my experience with this, I've worked in the sector for over 30 years, but I probably don't want to admit that. And I've been head or lead with nutrition and hydration for about 14 years, working directly with care homes of varying sizes and leading on a number of national projects. I think initially my role was quite unique in the sector. A lot of companies didn't necessarily employ a head of nutrition and hydration. So I had some amazing opportunities working between nurses and chefs. At that point, I should say, as I've also had a background in catering, I've owned a restaurant, I've worked with a number of chefs. And my nursing background, I could quite happily pop into the kitchens and feel in my comfort zone as much as I could at the front.
So let's start at the beginning in terms of the Care Home Digest. Vittoria, could you tell us where did the concept for this document come from?
Certainly. So really, the Care Home Digest was born from another document that some may be very familiar with called the Nutrition and Hydration Digest. And the Nutrition and Hydration Digest was first published many, many, many years ago. I can't quite remember when it was published. But this was a food service and catering guideline quite specifically for, let's say, hospitals or NHS trusts in England. And actually, it was very, very successful, in so much that at the moment, it's now a legal requirement for NHS trusts to be following these guidelines within hospital environments. And really, it was a conversation between the Older People Specialist Group, so committee members on the Older People Specialist Group, and also committee members of the Food Service Specialist Group, who very much led the writing of the Nutrition Hydration Digest, and also the National Association for Care Catering, that actually we needed something for care homes. We need something very similar for care homes, because actually, when we think about it, there's very little information, or there has been very little information for care homes to know what the nutritional requirements are for older adults and how do we cater to this very specific group of people who can have a wide variety of different, you know, illnesses and difficulties and challenges. And although conversations started many years ago, I think 5+ years ago, we managed to get a business case approved by the British Dietetic Association in 2022. And really, it then just followed from there in terms of getting the right experts involved and getting this document written, which we then were able to successfully launch at the, well, in the summer of 2024. So yeah, it is a document that is not just for England, it's UK wide. So although the other countries, so Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, did have some guidelines to follow, this is the first of its kind as a UK wide document, but certainly for England, where there was a significant gap.
That's brilliant. So it really is a long awaited resource and took many years to produce. And Sophie, I'm intrigued to hear from your perspective. When did you start to notice that there was a real gap in the guidelines for the care sector?
Honestly, I noticed there was a gap from day one when I joined. So quite interestingly, I was working as an operations manager and I was doing a lot of audits in care homes. And you start to see where there's massive diversity. And often you realise in those massive diversity areas, it's because there aren't guidelines. So I joined up to the NACC, National Association of Care Catering, from the start. I'd used some of the guidelines they've got, and they very much were supportive of everything that the BDA obviously do because of their role in the sector. But it still didn't give enough. And then when the Hospital Digest came along, I could use it, but it wasn't a go-to that was good enough to translate for care homes. So it was still really difficult. And what it meant was there were just conversations that were going round and round and round, and you weren't necessarily getting maintained standards. And obviously in my role, I get to see more than just the group I work with. So right across the board, it was just so much diversity, which meant that residents weren't benefiting in the way that they should. So malnutrition was often a poor understanding. Mm-hmm. Menus were in a pickle. Dining experience, I think there is still a long way to go because, you know, the digest has only just recently come out, but just a real pickle. And so, yeah, from day one.
I was going to ask you that actually, whether you use the Hospital Digest in your role, but it's like you say, the care sector is very different, and obviously every resident is individual. So it is great that we've now got this more tailored, more specific guidelines for the sector.
Yeah, and I think as well, I mean, the Hospital Digest is really quite comprehensive, and I guess that's my polite way of saying it's really quite long. Mm-hmm. And if we bear in mind in care homes, even still now, chefs might not have a background of being trained in detail in nutrition. So they need something quite specific. They might be incredibly skilled at cooking, but they need something quite specific, quite straightforward, something that they could just pull out and use as a resource with their staff as well.
Yeah, and that's something that I've noticed when reading the document, is that it really takes into consideration that some care homes, you know, the chefs will have different backgrounds. They might not have a dietitian or somebody who can nutritionally analyze recipes. So it's kind of written with lots of helpful tables and whatnot to help different care homes essentially provide the food and drink that residents need.
Absolutely.
And Victoria, I'm intrigued to ask where the information in the digest came from. I imagine it's various sources, but if you could give us a few examples maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Nutrition and Hydration Digest, I think, gave a good structure. Although, you know, as Sophie said, there's very limited time in a care home. Is a very fast-paced, busy environment, and chefs don't necessarily have access to all these documents to be able to read. So we were really keen that actually it couldn't be as long as the Nutrition and Hydration Digest, and neither did it need to be. So we were able to use it as a bit of a structure, but actually we did have to, I mean, I don't know if you'd agree, Sophie, but really had to start from scratch. It really was a blank page, and that we had lots and lots of meetings, lots of discussions and debates as experts around that table. But yeah, where we got the information from, I mean, luckily within the older people specialist group, we'd seen that there was really new and exciting evidence coming out around the different nutritional requirements, the different nutritional needs of older adults. So we'd already developed a resource that actually we were able to use for the care home digest. So we were able to pick at bits that, you know, each specialist group and different organizations had done. So different professional bodies as well, like the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists for the sections around dysphagia, that sort of thing. But yeah, very much around what's the latest evidence base, what's the latest research that is available, but also what does the Health and Social Care Act say? So really thinking about those regulations, and specifically Regulation 14, and making sure that anything that we were saying was in line with care homes being able to still demonstrate that they were doing what they legally had to provide to their residents. So it was very much keeping that focus as well. Sophie, I don't know if you can remember any other ways of bringing in that wisdom to that care home digest.
I think that was incredibly succinct, Victoria. I mean, I know in the first chapter we've tried to credit so many other links that people can use. So all of the aforementioned by Victoria, there's links that people can look up and go into more detail.
That's great. And am I right in saying that the digest has been written like a toolkit, so you can dip in and out wherever you might need to at the time in which you need it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be. It's not, you know, we're not expecting people to, you know, do a couple of hours of bedtime reading every night to really know the intricacies of everything. It's supposed to be an easy read, and it is about how can we facilitate care homes, particularly chefs, who often have been a profession that have been overlooked, particularly in England, where we can see that a lot has gone into NHS and social care revamping and relooking and trying to provide that kind of that support, that wraparound support to care homes. But catering is often that Cinderella service that gets forgotten about. So absolutely, it's about how can we easily get you the information that you need so that you can do your job with confidence. Because ultimately, I mean, Sophie, you've got that fantastic background in terms of cooking, but I certainly am not a chef, and I don't preach to be. So we want chefs to be able to be as creative as they need to be and really show their skills, but it's giving them the confidence to know that they're doing the right thing for what is, in the large part, quite a vulnerable population.
Yeah, definitely. I know that our chefs at Bidfood have been looking at the document, and we have had a go at creating some recipes, and it is so helpful just to have the different priorities laid out and all the different sort of hints and tips, especially around protein, which I want to talk more about. Yeah, brilliant. So thank you both. And now I think we should delve into the content of the digest and talk about your chapters. Welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's delve into the chapters of the Care Home Digest. So the Digest has four distinct chapters, and whilst we don't have time to talk about all of them today, it will be great to hear a brief overview from our guests of the chapters that you helped develop. Sophie, could you give me a brief overview of your chapter, and feel free to throw in any challenges you came up against along the way?
Okay, no problem at all. So my chapter, which I co-wrote with another dietitian, was chapter one, nutrition and hydration needs, covering screening for malnutrition and care planning. Probably, I mean, one of our first challenges is we love the subject so much, it's knowing when to stop. So I think that was the first thing. And really just being very mindful, you're talking about a document that's going across the four nations. So it has to be inclusive across the board. And you've got to have absolutely solid evidence. So it's a great way of keeping yourself in check. It's a great way of not getting carried away. And we had such a good group, to be honest, pulling it all together. So in that chapter, we covered six distinct areas. So what does eating well actually mean in a care home? Looking at malnutrition, which is then explored later on in more detail, because I think it carries one of the greatest misunderstandings, shall I say, and I know Victoria will definitely pick up on that as well. Screening for malnutrition, nutrition, hydration, care plans, and what we're looking for. Looking at hydration as well, and just some really simple tips. We're not trying to overcomplicate. We're not trying to baffle people with too much science. And then, as mentioned before, looking at what are the current guidelines. So if you want to go away and read a little bit more about swallowing problems, then you've got the links to do that, or the NICE guidance or CQC guidance.
And how long roughly did it take to do your chapter, would you say?
It was over a few months, but that's because of the good planning of the digest itself. So everything had to go through the proofread, go to the wider group, make sure that it wasn't overlapping with the other sections. So it was a good few months, possibly even a year. Victoria, you'd probably be able to correct me on that.
I mean, yeah, I think when we think about it, I think it probably did take a couple of years. Our business case got approved in September 2022, but I don't think we started working on it until at some point in 2023. So yeah, probably about a year and a half in total, if we think about it. So yeah, a long time. But of course, yeah, we've got to remember that we all have day jobs. So this was done. We voluntarily offered our time to complete the digest. So we were still working our jobs as well as trying to get, you know, all this stuff written up and out there. So yeah, it's felt longer than it probably was.
And I think we were so fortunate because the individual who led the hospital digest also led the care home digest. So Helen Ream came with such a huge amount of knowledge on that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's. I imagine she sort of carried across a lot of great information and great learnings from the hospital digest. Actually, know Helen quite well. She really is a brilliant dietitian.
Yes, yeah, it hasn't been an easy document to get out there, but I think, you know, without somebody like Helen, I think we'd still probably be writing it. So she's excellent at getting things done with deadlines. So yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Can I just add as well, I think something that was quite or is quite unique about the Care Home Digest in comparison to the Hospital Digest is we all felt strongly at the start that this wasn't just going to be around nutrition, hydration, but it was going to cover the environment and it was going to cover dining as well. So whilst I know I've mentioned about my chapter, there is a chapter around the dining environment and menu planning and special diets as well. So it is a broad encompassing document.
And written by a care home. Well, somebody with experience of having worked as a care home chef. So yeah, it really has been a multi-disciplinary approach to writing this document. It's not just dietitians telling everybody what needs to happen. So
that's great. And Victoria, what about your chapter? Which one did you help develop?
Yeah, so my chapter was, I think, chapter number four. It did change numbers a couple of times, but I think now chapter number four, which is the special diet. So it's quite a large chapter, but I did co-write it, co-author it with another dietitian. So this one talks about this. This chapter talks about the types of nutritional problems that tend to be most prevalent in a care home, and probably the biggest one is thinking about malnutrition or those who might need nutrition support, which is probably the most prevalent nutritional issue that you will get in a care home. So generally about 30%, if not, to be honest, thinking about nursing homes, probably a lot higher, around 50% of residents are likely to have some risk of malnutrition. So it's probably the most frequently needed special diet in a care home. So this chapter talks about the importance of following a food-based approach and how we can manage and treat malnutrition using food. It's very much focused on using food and drink for that, and the importance of nutrient density. So thinking about how we can get a balance of a range of nutrients for somebody that is struggling to eat and perhaps needs to have smaller portions or a little and often approach. It's also got other elements in there. So it has a chapter about a section about dysphagia. So my co-author is, although she's a dietitian, she's also the first dietitian that became a dysphagia practitioner. So she very much led on that chapter. So we were able to use her expertise there. It also talks about dementia, diabetes, vegetarian and vegan diets, other religious and cultural diets, a little bit about those who perhaps may want to lose weight. But again, it's thinking about a different approach to supporting older adults to lose weight, because it does need to be taken a bit differently to the general population. We've got mental health, palliative care, end of life, allergy, and a little bit about kidney disease in there as well. So although it's not an absolute exhaustive list, it's the most frequent that you might find in a care home.
That's great. And were there any key challenges that you came up against, Victoria, when developing it? Lots, I imagine.
I think that for me, the biggest challenge, and Sophie probably, hopefully, well, not hopefully, but will agree, was perhaps the part about malnutrition and nutrition support. So what we're very keen within the older people specialist group to be promoting nutrient density and the need to think about, you know, and nutrients. But what has been common practice within the dietetic world is perhaps focusing a little bit more on energy density. So thinking about adding foods like cream, butter, lots of sugar to meals as a form of food fortification. So that term means adding ingredients to try and increase the amount of energy that might be in a meal without increasing the quantity. But what the latest evidence is really telling us is that we should be thinking about more than just energy. So generally, those foods have a lot of fat or sugar in, but not many other nutrients. So what we want to be thinking about is ingredients that have more nutrients in them than just energy. So the document very much talks about what ingredients are good nutrient dense ingredients, but we perhaps had a little bit of a debate because this is quite a significant change of practice for us as dietitians, and it's whether we all felt comfortable in really making that leap. I think Helen managed that very well as chair, and I think we're all really happy with the final summary within the digest, but it did cause perhaps a few challenges in kind of getting agreement.
I can imagine that, actually. I think it does summarize it really well. You're right. I think it's realistic in terms of, we know that there might be some butter and some mashed potato, but it also highlights that there are, you know, more nutrient dense ingredients that you can add as well. It's sort of thinking outside the box and being creative and innovative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we want the document to say is how you make your recipes, you know, continue making them. So it's very normal to add, you know, a bit of butter to make some mashed potato, but that's the recipe, isn't it? In terms of fortifying it, the digest gives some examples of some additional nutrient dense ingredients for anybody who might need that nutrition support. So absolutely, where an ingredient includes them, we're not demonizing those foods, but we want to try and make the most of what somebody's going to eat by including those ingredients that have a bit more than just fat and energy and nothing else.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Victoria. And Sophie, I would like to ask you, why would you say that care home providers should follow these guidelines and let's say somebody is looking to get started with the digest, have you got any tips for starting off if they might feel overwhelmed, perhaps? Because as you mentioned, it is quite a comprehensive document.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah, about 146 pages, even though they're laid out brilliantly. So why would care providers follow them? Predominantly, I work in governance. We have to comply with the law. You could look at it from that angle. So Regulation 14, which was mentioned earlier, meeting nutritional needs of residents. You can only meet the nutritional needs of residents if you know what nutrition is about and how to meet those needs. So I think first and foremost, there's very much, there's a legal side, but there's also that wanting to do right by the resident and right for the resident. And it gives you one go-to, which is now the national standard to be able to follow. So no longer is there, you know, confusion and debate. And I think in the world of the internet, it's amazing, but it's also amazing where some information can come from. Having been a judge on a national award, I know I read some very interesting answers around nutrition, and you see what people get from the internet. So now we've got one spot. In terms of where to start, I'd probably start, it sounds a little bit odd, I'd probably start at the back with a checklist of what good looks like. So what does good look like in the dining room? What does good look like for a menu? And you start to build up a picture of what you don't know. And then you can build from there with really understanding, therefore, how to get to good.
It's quite a nice way to look at it, actually. I've seen that checklist and it's quite a nice, succinct page to look at and maybe get an idea of where you're at the moment and then where you'd like to be as a care home. So before we wrap up, I would like to ask each of you one more question. What is your key takeaway from the digest? And we'll start with Victoria.
Well, I think probably I've already mentioned one, which is we need to think about nutrient density and not energy density. But then I'm slightly biased because that was in my chapter. I think, you know, it's been said quite a lot today, but I think it is a large document, but it's not intended to be read from cover to cover. So I think for me, the key takeaway is, as what's been said, find out what maybe isn't working so well. And start small. Pick one thing that you want to improve on and start making those improvements. Overwhelm yourself in trying to implement absolutely everything that's in the care home digest. Just start small and just build on that. And yeah, and hopefully we'll see all care homes delivering what the care home digest is asking for, because that would be absolutely brilliant.
It would be. And I'd like to ask, in terms of nutrients, I know when I have read the digest, to me the protein really stands out. Would you agree that that is a big focus of this document?
I think we can get a little bit led astray because, yes, absolutely, protein has been found to be a really important nutrient in older adults in particular. So what we know is that, you know, for the general population, it's generally about, it might get a bit technical now, but 0.75 to 8.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. For older adults, we want to start at about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight. And that's for an older adult that's well, that hasn't got frailty, that hasn't got malnutrition. For somebody who's got malnutrition, it's generally about 1.2 to 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. Don't want us to get overwhelmed with the numbers, but that's just hopefully showing that compared to the general population, older adults do need a little bit more. That's because the body doesn't respond that well to protein and needs a little bit more so that it's able to utilize it. But what we don't want is for us to focus on single individual nutrients, because actually what the evidence is telling us is that, you know, just as for the general population, we need a range. We need a good amount of energy. We need protein. We need vitamins and minerals. We need fiber. We need fluid. So it's not getting necessarily too carried away with protein, but it's making sure that we've got wholesome food, which essentially is what the digest is telling us. So yes, protein is important, but also it's important for lots of things, including our muscle health. But we also need to be physically active and using those muscles to get the real benefits as well. So it's thinking about that holistic approach, which I think we've captured in the digest. hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes back really to the variety piece, which we all know is very important, and it's all about the whole picture, not just honing in on one food or one nutrient. Brilliant. And Sophie, what about you? What would you say your key takeaway from the digest is?
I think I probably alluded slightly that I would say the checklists are a great starting point, as they just tell you what good is going to look like. But also I would say you've just got really clear tables to look at, which will tell you about nutritional values and lots of really, really easy tips as you go along. So it's an easy flick. So definitely utilize it before you do any menu planning.
Thank you both so much. It's been great chatting to you both today and getting a better understanding of how the Care Home Digest came about, how it helps support care homes, and what your key takeaway points are. I'd like to say a huge thank you to you both for joining the podcast for this episode and sharing your experience and insights on the care sector. So, Victoria, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you very much, Sophie, as well.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. I'd encourage all care homes to take a further look at this first-of-a-kind resource. And remember, it's been designed as a toolkit, so you can dip in and out as you need. If you're looking for more support on catering for your residents, then check out our interactive care home, which you'll find on our website, bidfood.co.uk. We'll also leave a link to this in the show notes. Please make sure you follow or subscribe to Talking Food. That way you'll be the first to hear our future episodes. Until next time, goodbye.